the cleansing of the temple. I think for us to picture this encounter, this story of the life of Christ, it's almost humorous. Picturing the Good Shepherd making a whip out of cords and driving the money changers out, turning tables. That's a crazy image to put with what we normally picture of Christ. And yet, I think for us to sit with that graphic image and to really ask, what was the point? What that zeal for his house, what is Christ communicating? Because it's not about whether or not we should have bake sales in our gathering space. That's ultimately not the message. The gospel says it later. What he is referring to is his body, the body of Christ. Zeal for the house that consumes Christ, it's zeal for his body, the complete and total body of Christ, which each of us, by our baptism, become sharers in. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of that Spirit dwelling within us. And if we're not consumed with zeal for that reality, well, there's an importance to stop and let ourselves be moved and stirred up with that zeal. That reality that we are the body of Christ, the complete body. And the importance of the completeness of the body of Christ. This is the foundation for the next little section of our mass catechesis that we are entering into today. Because when we begin mass, we sign ourselves with that sign of discipleship, the cross. And we proclaim the identity of our triune God. Of our communion, that community of persons that is our God, that unity and communion that we are preparing to enter into within the celebration of the Mass. And so the next part to focus on is the greeting and response. Two simple little lines. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. The response back. And honestly, sometimes this becomes so second nature to us that we don't even think about what's being said. I'll admit that multiple times outside of Mass, if someone quotes Star Wars to me and says, "The Force be with you," I respond with, "And with your spirit." It's so habitual. And so for us to take a moment and stop and actually look at these two lines of the Mass, I think is very important. For us to take a moment to say, all right, this little exchange, what is it? Why is it here? Because actually, it's very important. It actually has a lot of meaning to it. And its importance is shown to us by the fact that five times in the Mass, we have this exchange. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. First, of course, when we gather, right at the beginning of Mass, there is this exchange. And then at the end, just before the blessing and dismissal, we have that exchange. And then three parts during the Mass, three crucial parts, we have this exchange. We have it before the proclamation of the gospel. We do this exchange before the Eucharistic prayer at the very beginning of the preface. And then we have this exchange a third time before we enter into the rite of communion. Before we enter into sharing in the unity of that triune God that we have proclaimed. So if it happens five times in the Mass, then it's really important that we stop and intentionally look at, what is this phrase? And why do we say it? Why do we have this exchange? Now, each phrase, it is very biblical, but we don't see the liturgical use of this exchange in the Old Testament. Actually, where we see it first develop is in the very beginning of the church herself. This exchange is coined specifically for the new reality of Christian worship. We see the church enter and start using this exchange as a specifically and thoroughly Christian expression, thus making it one of the oldest pieces of the Mass, the one that connects us to that very early Christian community that started out of Christ's witness and mission. And so as we see it used traditionally, for us to look at that first phrase, the Lord be with you, This was a phrase that was only ever said to the baptized. It was a statement that was proclaimed to those who were baptized and part of that Christian community. And we see this because in the RCIA program, in the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, there are different rituals and different prayer services, but they never contain this exchange because the catechumens were not yet baptized. And so that expression of the Lord be with you wasn't said to them. And that's because the Lord be with you, the Lord is referring specifically to that Holy Spirit. The gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we're given at our baptism. That very reality where by our baptisms we become a part of the body of Christ. We become part of this worshiping community by that gift of the Holy Spirit given to us within that sacrament of baptism. It's part of the reason why during non-COVID times that when we enter into the church, we sign ourselves with holy water. Reminding ourselves of the baptism and almost to say, I, as a baptized Christian, I'm able to take part in the worship that is about to begin in the celebration of the Mass. I am able, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within me, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to enter into this sacrifice and participate fully within it. We see that phrase, the Lord be with you, all over the Old Testament. It's said to people in the Old Testament most of the time when they're also being asked to accomplish a task of some sort. There is this reality and first this recognition, the Spirit of the Lord is with you. And then comes the task that they're being asked to do. There is this recognition that there needs to be a stirring of that Spirit, of the presence of our Lord if you're about to accomplish the task set ahead of you. A great example of this is Gideon in the book of Judges, a judge who's asked to lead the people of Israel in battle against an oppressing nation. And the angel who appears to Gideon says, "The Lord is with you, O champion." What a phrase. And we can hear that and imagine the stirring of the Spirit that would have done, preparing Gideon for that battle, preparing to lead his people to freedom. Now, probably most of us have not led a country into battle before, so that example might not completely be one that we're feeling and kind of seeing the totality for, but I think for many times we do psych ourselves up for things and get ready for things, and so for us to stop and kind of say, okay, this task that we are entering into, this task of entering into this worship, preparing to receive the Word of God and the sacrament, the importance of our own, offering our own sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that takes some work. That's not an everyday thing for us as human beings. It's a struggle sometimes for us to receive the Word of God and the sacrament and to respond in our own offering. Whether it's just us getting distracted or whether it's us holding back and not giving our entire heart, it's hard for us as human beings to enter into this task of worship. And so the stirring of the Spirit is an important thing. The stirring of the Spirit's important to help us enter into this task, the Mass, this worship that we are entering into. The church actually in the missal where all the prayers are gives other options to in this exchange for this first half of it. There is the Lord be with you, the first and most simple option. That's the one I always say because I'm not good at memorizing things. And so the other two are kind of embellishments on it, ways of saying the same thing, but with a little more words. And they're coming from directly from the letters of St. Paul. So of course they're embellished with a little more words. He does that. And so the second option that could be said for the first half of this dialogue is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 9 different letters of St. Paul. This is how he starts that. Essentially saying the same thing, this recognition to the baptized of the Spirit. The Lord is with them. The third option comes from the ending of his second letter to the Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, a beautiful expression of the Lord be with you. The recognition of the Spirit dwelling in each and every one of the baptized. Now, there is a fourth option that's actually reserved for bishops. Only a bishop can begin with the statement, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's the greeting that the resurrected Christ gives to his followers, to his disciples. So I, as a priest, get to quote St. Paul, and the bishop gets to quote Jesus Christ himself. So it seems appropriate there. But the response then that is given back, that is also unique and very important. Because in the history of this dialogue, that response is only ever given to the ordained. And with your spirit. That's a statement that is only ever said to the ordained deacons, priests, and bishops. And that's because spirit, in that context, spirit is a lowercase s. At that point, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit, which was the case in the first expression, because it wouldn't really make sense for the response to be, and you also are baptized. In this sense, Spirit is referring to the gift of the Spirit that an ordained minister receives at their ordination. The gift of that Spirit to be in this specific ministerial role of service within this worship, within the context of the Mass. And so in the same way that the Lord be with you is meant to stir the spirit of the baptized, and with your spirit is meant to stir that spirit of the ordained, that call to service within the ministry of this sacrament. So it's actually a pretty neat reality, the exchange that's happening, almost a roll call of sorts. And I think humanly this also makes sense to us. As I was looking at and preparing for this homily, I thought, I feel like this reminds me of something. And finally yesterday it clicked. In high school, when there'd be like pep rallies or getting ready for games or large conferences or groups of people, a lot of times a cheer would start up where one group would say, "We've got spirit, yes we do, we've got spirit, how about you?" And then the other group would respond, "I knew you guys were asleep." The other group responds and says, "We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you?" And it goes back and forth, and there's this building of spirits. Maybe you guys aren't familiar with that cheer. I guess here probably it would be M-I-Z. Yeah, okay. So we do have a concept of what the back and forth cheers look like. And what is the point of those? The point of those is to stir the spirit, to build up our spirit for a particular task. The task being an exciting game or something very, you know, a different, an important speaker or something like that, where the spirit is meant to be raised. And so for us to intentionally stop and say, whoa, the task that we are entering into in the Mass, it's an eternal task. It has elements that are not just about this moment. And even the greatest basketball game or football game, as important as that is, this task also carries with it a huge importance. And so we would allow then that this roll call, this dialogue, to stir the spirit so that we may enter more fully into this task, into this worship of our God. Oh, it is so important. This back and forth is almost, like I said, this roll call of recognition. It's as if, in a way, we're saying, hey, we need the entire body present to enter into this worship. So do we have is the baptized here? Are the baptized here present? Yes. And then the baptized respond and say, do we have the ordained minister? Yes. And so then we can move forward. We're ready to worship. We're ready to enter into the Mass, this liturgy that is put before us. We are ready to enter into a sacrifice of praise. We're ready to witness bread and wine be transubstantiated into the body and blood of our Savior. And most importantly, we're ready for our hearts and our lives to be transformed. And so it is this beautiful and intentional expression, five times within the Mass, this recognition of the entire body present and are ready to enter into the next task. When we gather for Mass, we're saying, are the baptized here? Yes. Are they ordained here? Yes. Let's enter into this worship. Just before the gospel, just before Christ proclaims his living word to us, are the baptized gathered? Yes. Are they ordained here? Yes. And we are ready then to receive the living word. Before we enter into the Eucharistic prayer, is the baptized, are they here? Yes. Are they ordained here? Yes. Then we are prepared to enter into the sacrifice. And before we enter into communion, are the baptized here? Yes. And are the ordained ministers here? Yes. Then we are prepared to receive the fruit of the sacrifice that we have participated in. We're ready to join in communion with the unity of our God. And then right before we end, right before we are sent out to witness to the world, one last time, are the baptized here? Yes. And are the ordained ministers here? Yes. So we've got the whole body. We have the whole body of Christ, and it's with this unity then that we go out into the world and we witness. We witness to the reality of what we are called to as temples of the Holy Spirit, of members of the body of Christ. We go and we witness to that reality, to those we encounter. In a world that is so often divided, we are signs of unity and communion. And so that one last time, we let that spirit be stirred within us for that task that we are being sent out to do. So I think in a very practical way, I would say as we continue with this celebration, let's increase our intentionality, knowing what is happening in that little dialogue, not to overlook it, not to do it without thinking, but to very intentionally enter into that exchange, that roll call, to allow our spirit to be stirred up within us. And then most importantly, throughout the week, to recognize that stirring of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has happened, so that how we live and how we witness, it's witnessing to the truth of communion. It's witnessing to unity.